Peter chapter, excuse me, 4, starting at verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Now, I'll tell you, before I even read this text and before I get into the message, this is truly a continuation of the last message. This is called the same thing except for part 2. And it really is just some things that I didn't get to cover in the previous one that are kind of put into a separate message. They really all just kind of fit together, the last one and this one. This is praying about why, but part 2, when you're asking the Lord why something's happening, why are things going wrong, what are you trying to teach me, what are these trials that I just got myself into, or are the trials because I'm actually doing the right thing and serving the Lord? That stuff does happen. You'll see that when we're thinking about Peter, but then also if you're here tomorrow during Sunday school, here's an example. The message tomorrow in Sunday school is praying for boldness. The character we're going to use is Peter. Now, there's somebody else there with him, and he's doing a great job, but rather than saying, wow, we must have messed that up, I can't believe we did that whole thing wrong, they actually get bolder. And Peter is bold in the text, but he doesn't back off at all. He gets more bold by the end of the chapter and prays for more boldness because in that case, he knows he did the right thing. Believe it or not, not all Peters do everything wrong. One person got that. Not all Peters do everything wrong. Sometimes a Peter does things right. That's why you're shocked. Most of you are just in shock. That can't be. So here's a Peter. Here's a lesson from Peter. And again, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let's read 12 through 7. I'm going to be done at 2 o'clock-ish, right in there. 2 o'clock, somewhere there. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Last verse for now. For it is the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So he is telling them, again, now just bear with me, as I set this message up, he's telling them to judge themselves. Let's let judgment begin at the house of God and let's examine ourselves. And let's think about some things, whether the suffering and trial that I'm going through, the temptations, the whatever, the why, the stuff that's happening in my life, is this because I'm serving Christ or is this because I'm doing the wrong thing? Right. And you might ask yourself, what does Peter know about that? Are you with me? Does Peter know anything about those two things?
Yeah.
Doing right and suffering for it, doing wrong and suffering for it?
Yeah.
Does Peter know about any of that stuff? This would be yes.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys, are you okay?
Amen.
All right, just want to make sure at least the heads can still move. Praise the Lord, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to be able to go through the things that we have already today. I do pray that you'd guide us through this as well. And again, Father, you know my heart. Yours is better than mine. But as much as I can, as much as lieth in me, I want to be a help to the church today. I don't want to just give them a bunch of bad thoughts. I want us to be honest with you and with ourselves and with you about ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to do that today as Peter learned many, many things and was able to share some of those things. And I'm able to look at some words from Peter that you had him write down and use that character because of the things he went through. And then we'll do the same thing in Sunday school tomorrow morning. I pray that you'd help us to think about those things. Use these things, Lord, to be a help to us. Because at some point, we've all been Peter like this. And there's some things that we've done wrong and we've been buffeted for and looked bad for. There are some things we've done right. And we need to pray for boldness in those things and not pray that you'd help us not to do that dumb thing again. So Lord, please help us with this stuff. I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts about it. Thank you, Lord, for the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the last message that I gave you, again, the last message was about David and the drought and the things that happened with Saul and the Gibeonites and the stuff that was way before him. And that's why the curse causeless shall not come. It was there. David was suffering. Israel was suffering. Obviously, the Gibeonites had suffered because we didn't talk about this, but they were being persecuted by Israel. And more than likely, because they're part of that leftover group that God said destroy, they were being persecuted by Israel that entire time. God wanted that to stop. God wanted the vow to be performed, that the vow was performed, that we wouldn't kill the Gibeonites, all that stuff. And so the curse that was there, the why they should have been asking, David found out. The Lord helped him to make it right. Wonderful Old Testament example about the character of God, because that is the character of God. That's the way he works. Now, tonight, this afternoon, we've got a New Testament example. Peter, great guy, okay? Sometimes you do things great and the Lord blesses. By the way, pause. Old Testament example, David do anything right and the Lord blessed. Well, man, David did a lot of things right. I could point to that. You know the story of David and Goliath. You know the fact that, again, there's some things that are wrong and he does some bad stuff and some good stuff, same character. He numbers the children of Israel, shouldn't have done that. God didn't want him to number the people, so God, decides to take a bunch of them out because he's prideful about the number. But having said that, Romans 8:28, the Lord works it all together for good because the sword of the Lord is held up over Mount Moriah. We were talking about that a little bit at lunch. So here's Mount Moriah. Guess the property he purchases, and he actually pays money for it. By the way, if you got any doubts about Israel and who owns that chunk of property, read your Bible. You found out David bought it. The Temple Mount was purchased by David, not gotten in a battle. It was purchased by David, and that's the Temple Mount. Wonderful story, by the way. Look that up. So there's doubt as to who owns that. Bible doesn't makes it real clear. We know exactly who owns that, the line of David. That's where the temple was built, that whole thing. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. But David made some mistakes. God turned it around for good. That's where Solomon builds the temple. Everybody's like that. We do good things. We do bad things. We do some good stuff. God turns it around for good. Isn't Romans 8:28 wonderful? Here's Peter. Here's Peter, New Testament. We fast forward. Guess what? The character of God's the same, but here's another thing I know about people. People are the same. People do some things right. People do some things wrong. That's the way we are. By the way, I was reminded of this freshly 12 years ago, a little over that now, when I moved to Reedsburg. Different names, same type of people. Because people are people in Reedsburg, people are people in Madison. That's the way it works, and it's just, people. People do some things right, people do some things wrong. Some of the stuff that happens in my life when I'm asking God why, it's because I did something wrong. Some of the stuff when I ask God why is this happening to me, it's because I'm actually serving the Lord and doing the right thing. So Peter begins to refer to some of these things, and it's time that judgment begins at the house of God. He wants the examination to be on us, for us to think about it, and it's wonderful that it comes from a guy like Peter. It's wonderful, because, listen, we know about Peter. You know Peter. By the way, I know that people don't like it when I use them as an example, unless I'm a little teasing, and you can take your teasing. But if I told everybody in the crowd some of the biggest mistakes you've ever made in your life, making yourself look like a non-Christian, you probably wouldn't be happy about that. Right. And people don't like it when I use them as sermon examples. Okay, and I get it. I'm a human like you are. How do you know that Peter denied the Lord three times? How do you know that Peter denied the Lord three times? It is written there for you in Scripture. Stupid mistakes and all, every bit of it. You know not only that he denied the Lord three times, you know he was warned about it several times earlier. You know he was told to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane and he didn't do it. You know that the Lord not only had the rooster crow once, one time and I goofed up. No, the Lord had the rooster crow earlier, but he didn't even hear the rooster crow. I've thought about that part of the story often, and it's only one gospel that brings that out. Each of the gospels bring out the fact that it would happen. One gospel says it did. He denied the rooster crowed. He should have gone, oh boy, yeah, that much. But he wasn't even paying attention to the warning. But so then obviously he did it again. Well, why? Now, by the way, every single gospel brings out the fact that Peter denied. Every single one. Every one of us knows about it. All the disciples knew about it. Everybody, for the rest of eternity, because these words are eternal, everyone knows about it. And now, Peter could ask, why do I have to look stupid in front of everybody? How come everybody has to know about my sin? Well, Peter, it's because of something dumb you did. It's not because of anybody else. It's not John's fault. This is not John 21, where you can point to John and say, what about this man? No, that's not John's fault. That's Peter's fault. Peter didn't take the warning. So Peter knows this is great, that this stuff is coming from a guy who knows what it's like to make mistakes, to suffer for his faults, and have everybody on the planet know about it. Everybody for eternity know about it, and there's no way to escape it. So, okay, he's the right guy to say it. So he's being honest with it, and he's saying to us, now look, okay, it's true. Sometimes you're going to suffer for doing the right thing. Now, you and I know this. Trials, they come to everybody. Now, every time somebody says to me, why does bad stuff always happen to me? I've had people say that more times than I can count. Why does bad stuff happen to me? The first thing I want to say is, are you kidding? You think you're the only one?
Right.
Do you realize bad stuff happens to everybody?
Yeah.
In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I gave you some of these earlier. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is a sin-cursed world. Don't get mad at God for the sin that's in the world and therefore all of the horrible ramifications from sin. Whose fault is that? And by the way, don't even just say Adam. Yeah, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, but death by sin. But death passed upon all men for that. There you go. All have sinned. If you were him in the Garden of Eden and your wife's name was your wife's name, you would have done the same thing. It's humans. It's human nature. That's the way we are. This is the stuff that we do. So that stuff's passed in. All that stuff, that's why all this is happening in the world. Tribulation and persecution and tough stuff, it happens to everybody. So Peter is actually even saying that. Beloved, verse number 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some, and I'm doing the word slowly on purpose, strange. I don't want to add to God, add to his word, but at the same time, well, that's strange. You could say that, but I think he has more than just that's strange in mind. It's an unusual, unique, weird thing that's just happening to me. I think that's his intention. Don't think it's just some unique, unusual, strange, weirdo thing that's happening to you like you're the only one. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not just you. Everybody goes through stuff. God wants all of us to think about that. Now, listen, I could give you stories, and I'm not whining about my life and all this stuff. I had somebody, believe it or not, okay, so I visited the doctor a number of times in my life, and the most recent doctor visit that I won't tell you about, they're like, okay, have you had any surgeries recently? So I said, yeah, my gallbladder. Okay, when did that happen? January. Oh, January 2024? No. January 2025. You had that recently out? Yeah, I did. I'll show you the scars. Okay, what, have you ever had any cancer? And you're like, well, yeah, I had cancer in 1998. I had bladder cancer. And they told me I'm really lucky. That's what the doctor said, that I had that out, because 6 months later, I would have been dead. It was a fast-growing cancer. Well, and then I had prostate cancer in 2016. Anything else ever happened? Well, I had a heart attack in 2020. I mean, I could sit and ask, why cancer? Why heart attack? Why does everything bad have to happen to me? I'm not the only person in the room that's had a heart attack. I'm not the only person in the room that's ever had cancer. I'm not the only person in the room that's ever had trouble. That stuff happens to everybody. Why? It's not all Cohan's fault. It's not all Peter's fault. It's not Pastor Weiss's fault because he didn't love me enough or didn't pray for me hard enough or isn't spiritual enough to take away all my trouble. It's a sin-cursed world we're living in. And that's part of living here. And because it's a sin-cursed world we're living in, things have to be hard to keep us on track. Things have to be hard to keep us on track. I don't have time to preach all this to you, but I remind you of Genesis chapter 3, when the fall of man happened. Okay, the fall of man happened. Eve, why'd you do that? Oh, blame the certain serpent beguiled me. Okay, childbirth and labor and all that's going to be really hard for you. Why is childbirth so hard? Okay, Adam, why did you do what you did? Oh, the woman. Okay, Adam, here's the deal. Working in the field is going to be really hard for you. In the sweat of your face, this is the way you're going to eat bread. How long is that going to happen until you return to the dust? Adam, life's going to be hard for you until you return to it. He didn't want it that way. He didn't plan it that way. He planned it without sin. It was all very, very good. But now we're living in a sin-cursed world, and humans chose that. So we have the knowledge of good and evil, that evil in our flesh. And we know, especially those that are in the room as parents, in order to get that garbage out of the flesh, man, life sometimes has got to be hard. And that keeps us in line and keeps us going. Don't think it's a strange, fiery thing that just happens to you. And then with that, sometimes you're going to suffer because you did the right thing. You're following Christ. Look at verses 12 through, again, I read 12 for you, but 14. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is trials, though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, we're going to really analyze that tomorrow morning a little bit in the Sunday school hour with what he did in Acts chapter 4. Great segment of scripture. Reproach for the name of Christ. Happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Peter tells them that sometimes you're going to suffer for doing the right thing. By the way, then, in a conference on prayer revival or prayer life and getting us fired up about that, well, if I'm going to suffer for doing the right thing, then why do I bother praying? I'm just doing the right thing and I suffer and I should just leave it, right? No. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? And I read this for you earlier, chapter 22 of Luke. Was Jesus doing the right thing heading into the Garden of Gethsemane? Was Jesus doing the right thing letting the soldiers take him? Was Jesus doing the right thing while he's being smitten and beaten and spit on and mocked and the crown of thorns and the beard pulled out and all that stuff that happened to him? Was Jesus doing the right thing as he hung on the cross? What good did that prayer do him? Now, if you were here earlier, you know there appeared unto him an angel from heaven. And what did it do? Strengthening him. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, when we're going through, here's the truth. If we're going through persecution or trial or turmoil in our life because we did the right thing, we need to pray. Pray for what? Now, what we generally pray for is God, take the trouble away. That is not always the right thing to pray for. God, what do you want me to learn through this? How can this bring glory to your name? Lord, teach me. I got stuff I need to learn. And Lord, give me the strength to go through it. Give me the strength to go through it. Whatever happens in my life, give me the strength to go through it. I'm not nuts about this. I'd rather not have a surgery. I'd rather not have something out of my body that, you know, you grew there when I was a little kid in the womb. I'd rather not have, you know, somebody hate me. I'd rather not have somebody, my neighbor, despise me or give me a hard time or cuss me out or whatever. But Lord, give me the strength to go through this. Remember, there appeared, because this is the bottom line with it. Listen, it's okay to be honest with God. You guys know this. Thinking about the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, I love the fact that the Bible tells us Jesus never sinned. I'm not saying that just kind of in general. He was tempted in all points like as we are yet without sin. But I love the fact that the Bible tells us Jesus never sinned. That means it must not be wrong to tell God you don't want to go through that. It must not be wrong to tell God you don't want to go through that. Lord, I'm not nuts about going through this. Jesus didn't say that, but what did he say? If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then again, I'll surrender. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then there appeared an angel strength. Oh, because again, this is what I want you to go through. This is what I've chosen for you. But I will give you the strength to go through it. Man, I got to tell you, I may not be able to have all my troubles taken away, and it doesn't mean I'm not right with God. You can't get more right with God than Jesus. But he didn't want that trouble to be taken away. That's the trouble he was called to. But with that trouble being called to, praise the Lord, prayer is worth it if you get the strength to go through it. Man, that is worth praying for. When you go through trouble, and it's trouble God wants you in, he will go through that valley of the shadow of death with you. He will help you through that thing. That makes prayer worth it. Don't let the devil tell you that you're going through it. Whether you pray or not, you might as well just suffer through it. You need the strength to survive. I need the strength to survive. I'm alive yet because God must have some stuff for me to do. So, oh Lord, okay, give me the strength to keep on going. And as long as you give me the strength to keep on going, I'll keep on going. That's the first thing when you're going through troubles and it's because you're following Christ, it's because you are in the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, pray for strength. Prayer is worth it. Here's the next thing though, and I love that. Peter does throw in here because Peter, as a human who's been had that proven to him by God, that in everything there's a mix of Peter. You know the problem with Peter? Everywhere he goes, there he is. You know the problem with you and me? Everywhere we go, there we are. And I'm still there, whether I'm at work or I'm still there, whether I'm at church. You may or may not believe this. Maybe you do. I'm still here when I'm behind the pulpit. You mean you could have a wrong thought when you're in the pulpit? Oh boy. Or teaching a Sunday school class for you? Or singing a special? Or even in prayer? Could you pray in the flesh? Oh yeah, you could. The problem with us is we're always there. And so everything that Peter writes, he writes with a mix of, yeah, but, and by the way, did you notice it's not just murder? Well, I'm not a murderer. I love the fact that he puts this in here. Look with me a little bit later, verse number 15. Okay, it's true, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Well, I haven't killed anybody, but I've been pretty nosy. I've been kind of wondering why you're going through all the trouble you're going through. And I've even told the Lord that you need to wake up as to why you're going through all that trouble. Maybe you're just guilty of being a busybody. And maybe because you're a busybody and you think you got everybody else's problems figured out, God's given you some problems on your own, so you don't think you're so self-righteous you don't have problems. Wouldn't that be wise to ask God why? Maybe I've had times where I've asked God why, and it isn't an audible voice or written across the sky like an airplane doing writing or whatever. But the Lord has just revealed to me sometimes it's just to keep me humble or to humble me more. Because it's not just murderers that God has to teach. It's not just thieves that God has to teach. God has to teach busybodies in other men's matters sometimes, maybe too judgmental of someone else's trouble. So God has got to give you your own trouble so you don't get too big for your own britches. In this concept of, okay, praying and asking God why. And look, I get it. It could be because you did the right thing, but, you know, odds are, let's be honest with ourselves. Is most of my trouble because I did the right thing? Is most of your trouble because you did the right thing? I mean, that's it. I'm the martyr because I'm always doing right. You know, I'm just like Jesus. I just do everything right and everybody hates me. Really? When we're honest with ourselves, we know that's not true. And by the way, even if we're not honest with ourselves, we're going to get to this in just a minute. God knows who we are. Peter says these things trying to be a help. I mean, what does he know about being a busybody? Think about that. Hey, John, what is this man going to do? What is that to thee? You know what it says in John 21? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, that's none of your stinking business. That's the way I would have said it. Jesus is much nicer than me. But that's what that means with Jesus and Peter and John and all that stuff. He wanted to know what the others were going to do. So Peter knows about all these things. So it's time then that verse 17, that judgment begins, must begin, at the house of God, and it at first begin with us, or at us. What should the end be of them that obey not the gospel? There's one more thing I want to show you before I get to my last segment of verses that I want to go with you in this continuation message from the last one, praying about why. This is part two. I want you to go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I really do hope you believe, if you don't, it's still true, but I hope you believe that my intent today, and I believe the Lord's intent today, is to help you. There are times when the Lord really corrected his disciples, and he was pretty tough on them, and they probably viewed him as being too harsh. I say that because there are times that they were afraid to ask him. Why were they afraid to ask him? Might be corrected? He's angry with us because we brought no bread. No, that's not it. It's about the leaven of the Pharisees. They're missing it. There were times they were afraid to ask. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there are people that I've talked to at different times. They are constantly feeling condemned, convicted, judged, whatever. And I had somebody tell me a number of years ago, it's nobody here, so don't worry, you know, don't use me as an example, that they were kind of tired of going to church because every time they went to church, they felt guilty. All right, that leaves a multitude of questions. All right, maybe you need Joel Osteen as your pastor. I don't know what it is that you're looking for. And I get it, your pastor can be a jerk. I could be a jerk. I've been a jerk. I'm really good at it. You should see me when I really am a jerk and not holding back. So what are you laughing at? Yeah, I know. So it sounds like a brother laugh to me. But having said that, do you ever consider the other side of that coin? Maybe, you know, maybe there's some things that actually need to get corrected and God's just poking the bear, so to speak. He's trying to make, oh, poking the bear would be making me angry for no reason, but he's trying to get your attention. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to Paul, whose name at the time was Saul, before his name is changed, in the New Testament? And what the Lord said to him on the road to Damascus at his conversion. He didn't just say, you know, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You know what the next thing he says? It's hard for thee to kick against the... Oh, so Jesus was pricking him? And poking him and prodding him? Why would Jesus do that? Trying to get him to change. And when somebody's on the wrong road, God will often poke and prod. What is that stupid pain? Who's poking me? Why is somebody poking you? Maybe you're headed the wrong direction and God's got to use a cattle prod to get you to turn around. And rather than needing to be poked, wouldn't it be better for all of us if we had a tender heart that was wide open and said, look, I know me. I look in the mirror. I look in the mirror every day, and most of the time I don't like what I see. I can't imagine what God sees because he sees me deep down inside. And so, okay, it's time that judgment must begin at the house of God. And rather than being condemned and feeling condemned, I would rather judge myself. And I say that because of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 31. I just found out, I think at lunch, that you guys are going through 1 Corinthians, are you? And you're like 5 or something, I think you said. So I didn't know that when I wrote this, but I think it's appropriate. All of 1 Corinthians, it's beautiful, it fits. I think a number of years ago when I did a study through Corinthians, I found it interesting, Pastor Mike, that Corinth itself is very similar to Madison. In its physical layout, bodies of water and so on, I couldn't believe that. And then the spiritual nature of the place, it's amazing. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 to 32, but if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So somebody could say, I feel so judged. Why are you always judging me? Well, maybe it's because you're not judging yourself. If we, and I include myself in that, we, ladies and gentlemen, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we, I include myself in that, are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So maybe the Lord's trying to get us to turn around by some things that are happening in our life. Look, I get it. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. These messages today, I want you to know, are probably more convicting, just in case you get done with this day and you're thinking, wow, that was painful enough, I'm not coming back tomorrow. These are probably more convicting than the ones tomorrow. Tomorrow, I want to talk to you about things that we're praying for. We're praying for boldness because we're on the right path. We're praying for peace because we want the Holy Spirit of God working in our life. And we're praying for the rebels around us. And I'm going to look at those things. But I think this has to start with us doing some self-examination. I really believe that if revival is going to come to Madison Baptist and definitely the city of Madison, it's going to start here. It'll probably start with this group. You guys are serious enough to come out on a Saturday to hear about God and what he wants to do in your life and in your church. I think it's going to start with you. But that starts with us examining ourselves. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This is what Peter is talking about. Look, don't consider it a totally strange thing, like the fiery trial that tries you. You're the only one. It's totally strange. Nah, it happens to everybody that's in the world. If you suffer for the name of Christ, you should be happy. He's being glorified. There's some things to learn through that. Suffer for Christ and with Christ. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's all right. Now, obviously, don't suffer as a murderer, but don't even suffer as a busybody in other men's matters. Let judgment begin at this particular house of God. And don't be a busybody. So when we are, and I got one more text I want to look at with you. It's a little longer one, but when we're praying and you're thinking about it, and the Lord brings to your mind sin, please do not think to yourself, you know, Dexter, I sure hope he gets right with God because we could finally have revival if Dexter would get right with God. Don't do that. I'm trying to use as many names as possible. So Cohan and Kutsky, don't think I'm picking on them. Don't think about somebody else. You know what I mean? We're thinking about corporately how we can pray together and work together and how Madison Baptist can bring have revival and then maybe bring revival to Dane County. Wouldn't that be a great thing? But it starts right here. It starts right here. If we judge ourselves and analyze and ask the Lord to show us, with that in mind, last scripture, Psalm 139. I love Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is just so beautiful, okay? I may not be able to see and understand all my errors, you know, the things that I have in my life that are not in place, the ways that I think I'm honoring to God, but I'm just kind of missing the mark. There are those things that happen. You know, I think I thought I was fine, but wow, then the Lord showed me, you know, you're doing as good as you can with the knowledge you got, but you're not doing that right, you know? And that's why the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But once the Lord reveals something to you, I don't even know. Who can understand? We just read this. His errors. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Lord, I'm missing this stuff. Psalm 139, there is someone who knows. By the way, as we're reading Psalm 139, and when we get to the middle of the chapter, let's do ourselves a favor and don't just think pro-life when you think about the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's true, but why is he saying that? I think he's saying, Adrian, I knew you when you were an egg. Every little part you have, you think the moles on your body? I'm the one that put them there. I know you. I think that's what he's saying. Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought. Why did I have that thought? Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Great question. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me. The Lord doesn't know what I did in the dark, right? In the closet. I mean, it was in the closet in the dark, and nobody knew that. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. He doesn't need night vision goggles. He can see it all. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, that O wretched man that I who am, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. He knows my DNA. Yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now listen, I'm going to pause you. I love this next one. Well, he just hates me because I'm such a dirtbag. No, he has your best interest in mind. Did you notice the next words? How precious. Listen to me. Stop. He knows who you are. You know what's shocking? He loves you anyway. He knows who you are, but he loves you anyway. When you wrap your brain around that, that's baffling. He knows who I am, the real me, and loves me. I wouldn't blame anybody for not loving me. Those who do love me probably don't know the real me. If you really got to know the real me, you'd probably stay away. I said this before from this pulpit. If you knew the stuff that was in my head, you probably wouldn't come in. If we knew the stuff that was in your head, we probably wouldn't let you in. It's a good thing, huh? But he knows everything that we are and everything that our makeup and our brain and our thoughts. And then look at the next words, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. And I know that could be about thinking about him, but I believe it's also him thinking about us. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. I want to do the right thing. They speak against thee wickedly. Thine enemies take thy name in vain. I can't stand it when people swear at work. I don't know what you tolerate. I hate that stuff. Do not I hate them, O Lord. I hate that hate thee and grieved with those that rise up again. I can't stand all the filth and the world that we're living in. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. But you know, unfortunately, some of the junk of the world sticks to me. I found that this is true. When I was in the military, I had a lot of swear words in my head. How come? I got out of the military, got a lot of different jobs, and I went and drove truck for a number of years, hanging around truck drivers, had a lot of swear words in my head. How come? And you know, I got to tell you, it's a blessing to work at the church. Pastor Chris never swears at me. Wow, what a blessing. The language at church is totally different than it was in the shop or in the military. What a blessing. And I say that because, look, I feel for you. I do. I feel for you. I understand those of you who are working secular jobs and working in the filth of the world. Sometimes you hear filth and you don't want to hear that filth. And I know it's pure religion, undefiled, is genuine, not only visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, but keeping himself unspotted from the world. Is that hard? Whoa, is that hard? Lord, some of the stuff, it's my own fault, but some of this is just garbage that sticks to me. I don't want that garbage to stick to me. Lord, you know my thoughts. You know whether it is the thought or the intention of the heart, because you pierce down deep inside. You know the real me. You know the garbage that I have to hear, and I hate that stuff. See, the Lord knows everything about you. He knows whether you heard the dirty joke and hated it because, You told them not to tell you any more of that garbage, or you heard the dirty joke and you thought it was really funny and you thought about repeating it, but as a Christian, you probably shouldn't. He knows the thoughts in your head. He knows deep down inside. And his thoughts are precious toward you. I believe he wants your thoughts to be precious toward him. And so the summary end of it is some prayer. 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I'm going to give you three things and we'll be done. God, deep down inside my heart, you know the difference. The stuff I hate, the stuff my flesh wants to give into. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Show me my, and then, by the way, this is the painful part, the next one. I don't like it, but it's true. You know what try me means? I want to say, Lord, don't try me, because I'll be a bonehead out in front of everybody. I don't. But I know the truth is, sometimes you have to show me through those trials who I am, because tribulation to a Christian is like hot water to a teabag. It just brings out what's in there. So, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and put me to the test, know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, if you'd just show me some garbage in me through the stuff that I've been going through. Yeah, I mean, it turns out I don't handle persecution real well, so I lashed out at somebody, you know. I laughed when they told the dirty joke. I don't know what you're thinking or what you struggle with. I mean, it's all individual stuff with you and the stuff that you have to deal with. And I know you deal with different stuff. Ladies at home, I know I'm talking about guys and guy stuff, the military and truck driving and all that stuff. I think ladies at home will admit that many times your children can bring out the worst in you. They know how to push your buttons. Why? You might even scream that out. Okay, maybe God would answer, because I'm trying to show you who you are. I'm going to try to show you that you're not near as patient as you tell everybody at church you are. You're a good Christian as far as Christians go, but we dare not make ourselves among the number and compare ourselves among ourselves. I mean, with the holiness of God and the love of Jesus Christ and that control that we're supposed to have, not so much. Search me, O God, know my heart. That's number one, search me. Number two, try me. That is, put me to the test and let me see what's in there. Whoa, that's a painful one. Put me to the test and show me what's in there. Search me, number one, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, colon, and see if there be any wicked way in me, punctuation at the end of 23 and the and, puts them together. And then the last one, remember earlier, lead me not into temptation. But how about this? Lead me in the way everlasting. That's a great prayer. That's a great prayer. Search me and know my heart. Lord, you know my heart. You knew me when I was an egg. You know me better than I know myself. I cannot hide from you. I got nothing to hide. And Lord, use these trials. Why? Use them to show me me, so that I cannot be further led into temptation, but be led into the right way, the right way. Lead me in the way everlasting. I want to do the right thing. I'm sick of doing the wrong thing. And all this because, again, we're going to pray for some things tomorrow. We're going to pray for some boldness to speak up for the Lord. We're going to pray for some peace so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're going to pray for other people to get right with God, praying for the rebels. We're going to talk about those things tomorrow. How in the world can we do that if we're not right with God? It's time that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what good would it do to go any further from today if we're not right with God? So we've got to do this first. And maybe the Lord is using some tough things in our life to get us right, not just to make us feel stupid, but to get us right. Let's have a final word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to go through these things. Lord, I do thank you for each person who is here. I believe that they are here because they want to know you better. I think odds are they want to know your will for their life. They even want to know the things that they're wrong. I don't think that most of the people that are here, I mean, I don't know the heart of every individual, but I believe they're not here because they just want to make you mad. They want to be pleasing to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayer and show us the things in us, our families, our church, the things that we have some influence on. Show us anything that's out of place. And lead us into the right way so that as we do pray about things, going forward, our prayers are more effective, filled with your power, because we're on right terms and we're as right as we can be. And anything that we're not right with, areas of our lives that we're not right, show us those things. Speak to each and every one. Thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you for the many things you give us in your word. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.